VentureCast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Problem in leadership is for people to feel comfortable with themselves, you know, because humility is a real key function. People with humility don't think less of themselves. They just think about themselves less. And that's the key, don't you think, Randy?
Hi, and welcome to Deep Leadership. I'm your host, John Rennie. Well, I hope all is well with you today. It is another beautiful day here in North Carolina. And this episode is brought to you by our sponsors, the Fraternity of Excellence, the Sasquatch Flag Company, and Jeremy Clevenger Fitness. These sponsors help me bring these shows to you each and every week, so I encourage you to click on their links below and check them out. I have another great show lined up for you today, but before we get started, I just want to remind you to check out the leadership books I've written on either Amazon or my website, johnsrennie.com. This year, I'm offering a new way to purchase all of my books for a discount. I've bundled the books into what I call the Qualified Leadership Series, and you get all three books for 15% off the individual prices. This offer is only available on my website, so check it out if you're looking to step up your leadership game this year. Also, I want to remind you that Deep Leadership is ranked as a top 100 management podcast in the U.S. and in the U.K., and I wanted to thank each and every one of you for listening in each week and sharing these episodes with your friends. You have helped this podcast grow into a top-performing show, so thank you very much. Well, that is it. Today, we're going to be doing something special. I've reached back into the archives to share one of my favorite interviews. I got a chance to sit down with my favorite leadership author, Ken Blanchard, and his co-author, Randy Conley, to talk about a book they wrote together. The discussion focused around servant leadership and building trust as a leader. Now, this was an amazing discussion with two of the most influential leadership authors in the country. And since we have many new listeners, I thought I would reshare this discussion from way back in episode 102 to all of you. So I love this conversation, and I know you will as well. So are you ready to dive in? Let's get started.
Welcome to Deep Leadership. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former Cold War submarine officer who spent 20 plus years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters. Leadership matters. Are you ready for some real world actionable advice from John as well as his expert guests?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
The show starts right now.
Welcome to the Deep Leadership Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Ken Blanchard and Randy Conley. Ken is a legend in the leadership space. He is co-author of more than 65 books, including the iconic The 1 Minute Manager, which combined sales of over 23 million copies. He was inducted into Amazon's Hall of Fame as one of the top 25 best-selling authors of all time. Randy is an Inc. Magazine Top 100 Leadership Speaker and contributing author of three books. His award-winning blog, Leading with Trust, has influenced over 4 million viewers since its inception. So I am honored to have both of them on the show to talk about their new book, which is called Simple Truths of Leadership. So Ken and Randy, welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to be with you.
Thank you, John. It's a real pleasure.
Well, it's great having you on the show, and congratulations on this new book. I love it. I've been through it, and I'm excited to talk to you guys both about it today. So first of all, my question to you is, why did this book need to be written? And I imagine part of it is in the subtitle, Making Common Sense Common Practice. Why did this book have to be written?
Well, you really nailed it, Ron, because one of my experiences over the years is that good leadership theory is common sense organized. And I really wonder why people, they might go through training, but they don't ever use it, you know. And initially, I started writing a book entitled, Duh, Why Isn't Common Sense Common Practice? And I've become a big fan of servant leadership. And then talking with Randy, servant leadership and trust go hand in hand. And so, Randy, let's do this thing together. And our publisher said that duh doesn't translate in foreign countries. So that's why it's the simple truths of leadership. You know, 52 ways to become a servant leader and build trust.
Although we still lovingly refer to it as the duh book, you know, when we're talking among ourselves, because that really captures the spirit of, hey, folks, these are common sense leadership principles, but they're not common practice, but right. We're trying to help you and show you how.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, and you mentioned it in the introduction. I think this is a big point in a lot of my books and the things I talk about is that we still have 65 to 70% of our employees are disengaged at work or they're not actively engaged in work. And yet we've had 15,000 books written on leadership, right, to date. And our level of knowledge has never been higher. But our level of practice remains so low. So why do you think that is?
Yeah.
Well, I think the big thing is the human ego. Because I think that what people do is they get caught up with acting like they know everything and they're the most important thing and they want everybody sucking up the hierarchy. But what we found, and we've talked about this, Randy and I, that you remember the guy that wrote years ago, I'm okay, you're okay. He said the worst life position is I'm okay, you're not. And he said, but his studies show that people with that life position are really covering up not okay feelings about themselves. And I think the biggest problem in leadership is for people to feel comfortable with themselves, you know, because humility is a real key function. We talk about that in the book and that great quote, and I don't know whether it was C.S. Lewis or Rick Warren or myself or who it was, but that said people with humility don't think less of themselves. They just think about themselves less. And that's the key, don't you think, Randy?
Yeah, absolutely. And building on what Ken said there, John, is leadership is a complex field, right? But it doesn't have to be complicated. And there's a key difference there between something that is complex, which means there's a lot of parts and pieces to it, but complicated is we make the complex too difficult to manage and utilize, you know? And I think that the field of leadership has really become complicated, like you said, you know, 15,000 titles published a year, you know, on leadership. That's insane, right?
Yeah.
But yet, when you boil down all those things and all the books, and Ken has been the guru at this over his lifetime, it keeps coming back to simple truths, right? It's the key simple truths that if we can remember those and practice them, that's where we get the big bang for our buck.
Yeah. I agree. And that's why I like the way this book is written, because I think you boil it down to 52 simple truths, and then you talk about how to apply them. And it's simple, it's straightforward, and it flows really well for new leaders and experienced leaders. Everyone's going to get something out of this book. At least that's my, you know, me going through it. It's a very good book, and I like the way it's written. Talk to me about this. It's written in two different parts, right? So you have two major elements that are in this book that are, you know, half the book is written one way, half the book is written another way. Tell me about those two parts and why those are so important and essential to leadership.
Well, we felt that we needed to build on our strengths, and my excitement is around servant leadership and Randy's is around trust. And so that's why we divided the book up, because great servant leaders build trust, and people who build trust have a servant heart. You know, isn't that right, Randy? Yeah. They go together.
Like, yeah, they simply go together. One of our friends, Charles Green, who's the author of the Trusted Advisor book and a guru in the field of trust, when when we asked him to review our book, he said, you know, Ken Blanchard and Randy Conley, baseball and Cracker Jacks, peanut butter and jelly, servant leadership and trust, they just go together, you know,
yeah.
And they're two symbiotic concepts that are just part of this virtuous circle, that people who have a service approach to leadership want to be there to serve the needs of the people under their charge. They build trust by the very fact of the types of behaviors and the attitudes, the mindset, and the skill set that they have. So the insider secret, John, is that actually there are some truths that ended up in the servant leaders section that were originally in trust, and some that were in trust that ended up in servant leader. And that shows how connected they are.
Yeah.
So even though Ken took the lead on servant leadership and I took the lead on trust, we really collaborated through the whole book to come up with all 52 simple truths.
Yeah, and no, I think
52 is really designed that way. So you can read one a week with your people, you know, or it's in, I think, five sections. You could take a section and read it. But it's one that you said, if you give it to your people, what easy to conversations you can have versus some 350-page heavy-duty book. You might say, hey, let's take a look at why catching people doing things right is really important. Let's talk about that this week and how we can do that. And, you know, and then Randy will say, well, you know, who begins trust, the leader or the followers, you know? Mm-hmm. And, oh, that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
And I think, Ken, you know, you're a master of this, but I think making a book that's 170 pages or so is more likely it's going to get read and applied than if it is 300 pages. And I know, you know, throughout your history, you've written a lot of books like that are easily read and easily applied. And I think that's the secret to this book, is it's quick to go through. It doesn't take a long time to go through it. And there's so much power. And you know, as an author myself, it's hard to do that, to summarize really important thoughts into a small package like this, where it can be, you know, read quickly and applied quickly. And I think that's really one of the things I like about this book, is that it's not something that you have to, you know, plan on, okay, I got to spend the whole weekend reading this book. You can do it in, like you said, one a week or in sections. And I think that's an important part of this book as well.
And each truth is in two pages facing each other, you know, versus a simple truth on the left hand, and the right hand starts off with, you know, like take catching people doing things right. Well, when I ask people, you know, how they know whether they're doing a good job, the response I normally get is nobody's yelled at me lately. No news is good news, you know? And then we say, you know, now, how do you take this simple truth? And as you said, everyone ends with, how do you make common sense common practice?
Yeah.
Like your point, John, really speaks to what we discussed earlier about us having a tendency to overcomplicate things, right? As an author, you know, and anyone who has done any kind of writing, whether it's a term paper for school or, you know, a memo or anything, a hard thing to do as a writer is to take stuff out, to cut stuff out, right? Yeah. It's because it's all so wonderful and valuable, and we want to share all of our thoughts and, you know, the whole enchilada, so to speak. And our publisher challenged us. They said, try to keep your simple truth explanation to 300 words.
Oh.
And that took some work. As a longtime blog writer, I was a little more comfortable with that because, you know, blogs tend to be shorter and punchy and to the point. And of course, Ken has written in parables and simple truths forever. So it took us a little bit, but we really hit our stride. And that goes to the point of, hey, folks, let's not overcomplicate this. There are some really simple truths about leadership. Keep it short. Keep it simple. Focus on that, and you'll be successful.
I love it. So I wanted to dive into a couple of simple truths just to talk about them, because I think they're really They're very important, and they're very, you know, I think, like I said, this book will be helpful for those that are in leadership positions to think through these things. So one of the ones that I like that you've got here, and I've always said you can't take a cookie cutter approach to leadership. You say that a servant leader realizes they have to use different strokes for different folks, and sometimes different strokes for the same folks. So what does that look like when a leader is doing it right?
Well, that's tied into our SL2 model, which is our situational approach to effective leadership, is that when you sit with people, it all starts with clear goals. Mm. You don't want to have more than 3 to 5 goals. But in each goal, the person might be at a different development level. In other words, they might have a different amount of competence and commitment or motivation there. And so in some goals, the people know more than you, and you can delegate to them, and they can call you if they need anything. And others, they might be brand new at that goal. They've never worked on finance before and all, and they might need a directive leadership style. And so it's not only using different strokes for different folks, but different strokes for the same folks on different parts of their job. And that's really a powerful thing, because one of the things that Randy and I believe in firmly is with any theory, whether it's SL2, the one-minute manager, anything, you don't do it to people, you do it with them. And you want to make sure they understand the theory. So when you're analyzing development level and determining which leadership style to use on each goal, the direct report or the person working with you, you're doing it together.
Yeah, I like that. So one of the terms you used in the book was, and I like this, and I wanted to hear more about it, which is autonomy through boundaries. What does that look like?
That's a great one. That comes from Ken's work and our work on empowerment. And he wrote a book years ago with Alan Randolph and John Carlos called Empowerment Takes More Than a Minute. And the concept is that if you think of a river flows in a direction because it's got banks that channels its energy. If you don't have the banks, that river becomes a puddle, right? It's just this body of water. And boundaries really channel people's autonomy. People sort of think boundaries, oh, that means structure, rigid, you know, I can only do a certain thing. Well, no, with structure comes freedom. You know, people have a clear mission of what their purpose is. And when it's time to call an audible or do something different, they clearly know, you know, what's sort of in bounds and out of bounds and how to handle that. So that's part of the philosophy behind that simple truth. What would you add, Kim?
No, I think that that kind of nails it, you know, because it really sets up the parameters in which people are working. And I think they really feel comfortable with that, knowing what the boundaries are. And they also get excited when they know you're there to help them, not to, you know, beat them up because, you missed that boundary or you didn't. No, mm-hmm. I mean, they're guidelines, not penalty strokes.
Yeah, I think, you know, as leaders, we have to establish the goals, the mission, right? And then establish the boundaries, if you will, or the rules, you know, to which we're going to operate in this business. But then you kind of have to get out of the way, right? I mean, part of it is establishing those boundaries so that you can get away and people know where they're, you know, where the guardrails are.
Yeah. One of my favorite sayings, and I'm sure it's in the book somewhere, is that the important thing about leadership is not what happens when you're there. It's what happens when you're not there, you know, and that's where the real action is. And that's where the boundaries are the guides when you're not there.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. Leadership skills are like any other skills. You need to practice them to get better at them. Best-selling leadership author John S. Rennie knows this. That's why he's written a new book called You Have the Watch. It's a guided journal for leaders designed to take you through an entire year of leadership training. By the end of the year, you will master 50 of the most important leadership skills. If you want to have a greater impact on the results and people in your organization, go to youhavethewatch.com and pick up your copy today.
This episode is brought to you by the Fraternity of Excellence. The Fraternity of Excellence is an online and real-world community for men who are looking to improve in all areas of their lives. The men of FOE are working together to become better husbands, fathers, and leaders at work and in their communities. They live by a simple philosophy: as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Now, I've been a member for more than 3 years, and for me, I finally found a brotherhood of men that I was missing from my time in the military. Now, I love being around guys who are dedicated to becoming a better version of themselves. So if you're interested in becoming a man of excellence as well, go to fraternityofexcellence.com, or you can reach out directly to me to learn more. This episode is brought to you by the Sasquatch Flag Company. The Sasquatch Flag Company is a family-owned business in New England that builds hand-carved American flags from seasoned white pine. Each flag is hand-built, and each star on the flag is hand-hammered and chiseled. No two flags are alike. They offer a variety of flag designs to honor the police, military, firefighters, dispatchers, and search and rescue personnel, to name a few. These stunning handmade flags look great in an office, a studio, the back porch, or above the fireplace mantle. They make the perfect gift for the veteran, first responder, or patriot in your life. Now, I love these flags, and I've been giving them as gifts for years, and I was a customer long before they became a sponsor of the show. I can't recommend them enough. So if you're looking for that perfect, uniquely American make gift to give away, or if you want to treat yourself, go to sasquatchflags.com and get your order in today. This episode is brought to you by Jeremy Clevenger Fitness. As a high-performing leader, you know that leadership isn't about telling people what to do. It's about leading by example. And for most people, the one area that they're lacking when it comes to leading by example is their health and fitness. By improving your health and fitness, every other area of your life improves. But how do you get and stay fit as a busy leader? Well, you do what you've always done. You hire the best person for the job. Don't struggle on your own. Put Jeremy Clevenger on your team. Jeremy will work with you to take your physique, mindset, nutritional habits, and more to the next level with his step-by-step all-inclusive coaching program. Now, I've worked with Jeremy for the past year, and I'm in the best shape of my life. If you want to step up your game, reach out to Jeremy at apexperformancesystems.com to find out more and get your initial consultation scheduled with him today.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
So in one section, I love this because I'm a big Jim Collins fan. You do bring up Jim Collins' work on level five leaders, and you talk about these leaders who have this powerful mixture of personal humility and professional will. And so you mentioned ego being a problem when we started this off. You also talked about humility being important. Why is this critical for servant leaders to have this mixture of personal humility and professional will?
What do you think?
Go ahead. I'll let you take the lead on that.
Well, it's just, they're just so key, you know, and I'm a big fan of his, you know. We've talked many times and all, but if you have people have the opportunity to go with it and, you know, take their will and run with it and all, but there's no boundaries, there's no kinds of things, you're really in trouble. And what you also want to make sure is that they don't get carried away and start, you know, patting themselves on the back too much. And that's where the humility comes in, so that they can go for it and be a leader, but they do it in a humble, caring way where people really know this is a we deal, not a me.
Yeah. I would add that simple truth ties in very well with, you know, our simple truth number 25, I think it is, of Rick Warren's quote, right, from his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It's not about you.
Yes.
Servant leaders realize leadership is not about them. It's about the people that they are serving and caring for. And you know, in Jim Collins's work, I believe he used the analogy that, you know, level five leaders, when the team does well, the level five leader is looking out the window and giving credit to the team for all their great success that they do. But when things go bad, the leader is looking in the mirror and reflecting on what did I do or not do that hindered the team from achieving success. So at the heart of a servant leader is caring more about the people you serve than about your own ego, your own needs. And I think that's a core component of level five leadership.
Yeah. But a lot of people say, you guys talk about this, but one of your simple truths is about patting yourself on the back.
Yes,
it's okay to toot your own horn.
Because of blowing your own horn. And that doesn't mean, you know, you're blowing your own horn at the expense of other people. But if the team is really winning, it's okay to say, God, this has really been fun for us to work on this thing together. And I'm glad I'm part of this team and all. And so to pat yourself on the back is not a bad thing, as long as it's not all about you and not about them and a me versus a we.
Mm. Yeah, you know, it's funny, as a servant leader my whole life, and you know, I've led for 30 years, is that when a team does succeed, the leader tends to get a lot of the credit and the accolades. Mm-hmm. And I always had the trouble of saying, it's not me. I didn't do this. I have a great team. They've done it. And here's how I engage the team. But it was always a weird thing for me getting recognized and awards. And, you know, and I'm always like, I didn't do it. I mean, this team did it. They just needed to be engaged, and they didn't have the right person. They had to have the lighter fluid on the fire. And then once it was done, I just got out of the way and they did it, you know. But it was hard for people to understand that, because we are in an ego-driven culture, and in big corporations, egos are important. So they want it to be, the leader did it. Well, the leader is the person that gets things going, but really it's the people that drive the results.
That's a good title for a book we could do, Lighter Fluid Leadership.
There you go. There you go. Watch out. Here we go. But isn't that the paradox, John, of servant leadership? The very thing that self-serving leaders are seeking, you know, the gratification, the ego strokes, the fame, the fortune, the publicity. It's the servant leader who actually ends up getting those things, because they're putting the team first, right? And helping the team succeed. And it's that universal principle of you'll reap what you sow, right? And even though the servant leader is not looking for the gratification, it'll happen just by virtue of the good work that the team does.
Yeah, no, I guarantee it. It's happened my whole career. My wife said, you've been dragged kicking and screaming up the corporate ladder. That was my career, you know. I just kept doing things and kept giving more and more responsibility. But I wasn't out there looking for the next job. I was trying to do my job very well. And in the process, they were asking me to do more and more. And I think that's something that people don't recognize. They think, well, if I'm humble and I have humility, then no one's going to know about me. But that's just the opposite happens. Everyone's going to know about you because of your reputation that you, but what's interesting is that a lot of the other managers that worked beside me couldn't figure out what I was doing. It was basic.
It was simple. Simple truths. Right?
But it was just, but they were applied. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the trust thing. And the one thing I really liked is what you said, that fear is an enemy of trust. Mm-hmm. Talk about that, because I see that so much.
Yeah, yeah. In order for trust to flourish in a relationship, let me back up. For trust to even be necessary, there needs to be some sort of risk involved in a relationship, right? If there's no risk involved, then that's a guarantee. That's a sure thing, right? But if there's any element of risk that, you know, I may be harmed or criticized or ridiculed or taken advantage of, then trust is required. If there's any fear in that relationship, if you have any fear of being harmed, you're not going to extend trust to others. Mm-hmm. And that ties very closely with the, you know, complex idea of psychological safety, which is essentially, do people feel safe to be vulnerable in an environment, right? And trust needs to be present in order for that safety to be there. So the encouragement to leaders is, examine your team, your culture, your organization culture. If there are elements of fear involved, that's going to be working against your efforts to build trust and allow trust to flourish within your environment.
Yeah, I think too how managers deal with failure, like when an employee fails and it's an honest mistake, how are they treated? And you know, I know in my first book, I wrote about a manager who I had a major screw up as an engineer in early part of my career. And he backed me up because he knew I was doing something that had never been done before. And I did fail, and I failed very, you know, majestically in front of everyone and spent a lot of money. But we were doing something that was never been done before. And he backed me up, even though probably it risked his career, but he backed me up knowing I was doing something very difficult that had never been done before. And instead of hurting my career, he helped my career. He gave me a second chance to go in there and get the thing done. And we ended up developing a product that had never been, you know, done before. We were the first to our market, made millions of dollars. But the point is that he had my back. And I think having, like you said, if you eliminate the fear, knowing you've got a boss that has your back, and if you're doing something risky, you build that trust, you build that rapport. Mm-hmm. And I would do anything for that boss after that moment.
There you go. I was going to ask you.
A wonderful implementation strategy of that is Gary Ridge has built WD-40.
Yeah.
And I read a book with him. And when he started as president, got over about 20 years ago, he said, in the future, there'll be no mistakes in WD-40. There's only learning opportunities. So he said, what a difference. So he said, one of his people come in, boy, did we have a learning opportunity, which somebody really screwed up. And he said, okay, tell me about it. You know, what are we going to learn from this?
Yeah.
Just changing that whole concept from mistakes to learning opportunities. What a difference that is. They have a 92% employee engagement score. Can you imagine? Nobody has those kind of scores.
Oh, no. Yeah, just the opposite. Yeah. Well, that's one of the simple truths that really stood out to me was number 45. It said the opposite of trust is not distrust, it's control.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is, why do so many managers get this one wrong? This one's really important.
Yeah, this is one of my personal favorites. And whenever I speak to groups and train groups on building trust, this is always a light bulb, you know, moment for them. I think a good way to illustrate the importance or the dynamic of control and trust is look at how leaders share information or don't share information, right? How is information typically treated in organizations? Question to you, how's it typically treated?
So I've seen two different ways. One is a good manager will share information. It'll be a good two-way dialogue. The ones that are that don't trust their people, they're going to hold that information tight to the vest. So they don't give you access to upper management. They don't give you all the information. They spoon feed you just a little bit at a time because they're trying. There's fear there, and they're trying to control the message and control the information. Yes.
Bingo. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there, John. Information is often, through low trust leaders, viewed as power, right? Mm-hmm. It's control. And when you see controlling type behavior in individuals, that should clue you into, oh, that person has some challenges around trust. Mm-hmm. They're not wanting to extend trust to others. So therefore they're playing all their cards close to the vest. You know, they don't want to be transparent. They don't want to let people in. And so control is actually the opposite of trust because, as we talked about earlier, trust requires vulnerability and an extension of risk, right? You have to put yourself out there in the hopes that, I'm sorry, there's my dog barking in the background there. Hope that
we have dogs on the show all the time.
Dogs on the show. I'll ask my son, hey, Matthews, could you close the door? Great for a podcast interview, the dog barking, the age of COVID, right?
It is, so, yes. I have
working from home.
I have two golden retrievers that make appearances on the show all the time. So
that's awesome. My apologies. So, controlling behavior is evident, that should clue people in. That's the opposite of trusting behavior.
Yeah, no, I love that.
Yeah.
So you know, at the end of the day, this book, I think you say in the introduction, you probably agree with this, is that the world needs servant leaders who are trusted by employees, right? That's the real core of this book. So what are your hopes for this book as it gets out there, as people read it? What are your hopes? What are you hoping this book will do?
Well, I hope that it's going to really give people the whole philosophy of leading that's simple yet powerful, and that we've broken the pieces up and they can take a look and chew one at it all, not throw the whole thing at them, but it'd be a way to have a constant dialogue with you and your people about leadership and about how you can work together. We're just excited about it. We just think it's going to be a great team building book, not one that you're going to read by yourself and say, now I have all these goodies, you know, because it's going to be two or three secrets are going to simple truths that are going to say, idiot.
Yeah, we really believe that the world is in desperate need of a new leadership model and a different approach to leadership, and servant leadership is that answer. And everyone also deserves a leader that they can trust. You know, I think in order for us to have healthy, vibrant, thriving organizations, whether that's corporations, sports teams, community groups, churches, whatever.
Families,
we need to have high trust relationships. That's the foundation of any healthy and successful relationship. And if readers of this book can pick up a few of these simple truths that they've probably learned at some point in their life and have either forgotten or just neglected to apply, if they can pick these up and put them into practice, they're going to see positive results. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So the book, it's The Simple Truths of Leadership. And for those on YouTube, you can see it. I'm holding it up right there. So it comes out on February 1st. Is that correct?
That's right. That's
correct. Yep.
Okay.
It's available for pre-order if people listen or view this prior to February 1. But yep, it's available now.
So where can people go to get the book?
Well, you can go to Amazon. You can go to KenBlanchard.com. You can go to you probably. We hope that it's going to be a giveaway book so that you can go to friends and relatives and
Say,
how did I get that book?
a simple starting point is go to simpletruthsofleadership.com. That's our book website. Visit there, and from there you can launch to a number of different booksellers. You can see a video of Ken and myself sharing the premise of the book and why we wrote it and how you can use it, and get in contact with us if you would like to do that. But simpletruthsofleadership.com.
Oh, that's great. We'll put links in the show notes for that. And again, I highly recommend everyone who's listening in, you've got to get this book. It's Simple Truths of Leadership, 52 Ways to Be a Servant Leader and Build Trust. And I will say the other subtitle, because I love this, Making Common Sense Common Practice. And Ken and Randy, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing all this. I am excited about this book, and I'm excited about what I think it's going to do for people going forward. So thank you.
Well, thank you, John. It's just been great to be with you, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's been great. I really enjoyed it. Thank you. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to Deep Leadership. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and share so we can continue to build a world with better bosses. Until next time, this is John Rennie saying take care and lead well.
Thank you for listening to Deep Leadership.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you do.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more information and updates, please visit our website at www.deepleadershippodcast.com or johnsrennie.com. Until next time, take care.
I'm DC. I host the Rock Podcast, Back to the Arena, The Interviews. It's about a 30-minute podcast where I talk one-on-one with a band who has released new music. You can find us on all the best podcast sites like Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and more. If you're a rock fan like me, subscribe today to Back to the Arena, The Interviews.
Electric Acid.
Welcome to Sara Talk Solutions. Ladies and gentlemen, you've tuned into a bit of a different type of show. I'm Sara B and I'm your host. You can find me on my IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA. I talk about amazing, relevant conversations and topics and what functions that goes on in this magical, wonderful, wonderful city of the City of Angels. My IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA.
Electric Acid.